Hello, everyone. Very happy Monday. I just made a post to the NTI discussion group, the NTI study group, and the Peace of God. And I'm sure it's also, of course, made to ReginaDawnAkers.com, which means the post will eventually show up on Facebook as well. And the post is about a new page that I created on ReginaDawnAkers.com. It's a new page dedicated to sharing free ebooks. And I have one free ebook directly available and several available through a link. The one free ebook that is available as of today is Thoughts of Awakening. Many of you will know those thoughts as the Single Quiet Thoughts. There are 365 Thoughts of Awakening that have been collected and put in this book. And as of today, as of about, 30 minutes ago, that book is now available for anyone who wants it in PDF format. There's also a link there to John Troy's free library. And that includes several books, including a couple of books with Ramana Maharshi's teachings, a book with Nisargadatta Maharaj's teachings. There's also a book in there called Conversations with Avant-Garde Sages, and it has, several chapters of interviews with people who listen to and speak wisdom. And chapter 26 in that particular book is an interview with me. So, these books are available in PDF. They're not available on Kindle. It's possible that I could make Thoughts of Awakening available on Kindle and Nook later. I think Cheryl Valentine knows how to go about doing that. So, maybe I'll get with her and make it available in that format as well, because I know some people may want that format. I don't think I can do that format free, though, because... or if you can, I don't know about it, because you have to sell it over Amazon and stuff. But the PDF format I can make available free, so it's there. I don't have to sell it. if you happen to have an iPad, there is an ebook library app on the iPad, and you can download PDF ebooks using the ebook library app, and it works just like a Kindle or a Nook. But I see Barb is already requesting Kindle edition for Thoughts of Awakening. So I can look into that with Cheryl, and maybe we can make that happen. As you know, those books aren't too expensive. They're inexpensive, so that would give another format that would be handy to people. But for those of you who are happy with PDF format, it's already there. Go get it. also, Dove has had an idea for a project, and I, in the post that I made today, I've made the announcement regarding that project. It's a project of collecting inspirational thoughts from NTI and putting them in a book. So for example, let me just open NTI up here. Yesterday I was reading 1 John with some friends. So, here's something from 1 John. That which you find is love, and it is you. That which you find is life, and it is you. That which you find is beyond description, and so we simply call it the Word, and that which you find is you. That could be an example, maybe, of something that's in the book, maybe not. But basically what we're looking for are volunteers who want to read a section of NTI. We will assign the sections and pull out the small excerpts that they think stand alone and are inspirational. And we will put those excerpts in a book, and it will be another free ebook that would be on this page. By the way, let me give you the link to the page. Here's a direct link that goes to the free ebook page. If there's anybody listening on the radio, you just go to ReginaDawnAkers.com. And then if you look at the list of pages, you'll see a page that's called Free PDF eBooks or something like that. You'll recognize it, and you click on that page, and that's the page where the free eBooks are available. But if anybody is interested in helping us make the free NTI Inspiration collection, that particular ebook, if anybody's interested in helping us collect the inspirations and build the ebook, just contact me. I do want to tell you also that there is another book that's going to be coming out soon. It's not an ebook, it's a paperback book. It's an abridged version of NTI called The Keys to NTI. Basically, it's the book of NTI Luke, NTI Acts, NTI Galatians, and NTI Revelation. And the purpose for taking these four portions of NTI and publishing them in a separate book is that it can be published much more cheaply than NTI. You know, many of us already love NTI, and we didn't mind, you know, paying what we needed to pay to buy NTI. But people who are not yet introduced to it and aren't as certain that they want it aren't as willing to pay like $25, I think it is, on Amazon. I think it's even $36 at Barnes & Noble and in bookstores. So Teddy had the idea of creating The Keys to NTI, which is just these four books from NTI, kind of a sampler, so that people could buy it at a cheaper price. And then if they find that they do indeed have interest, they could then go and you know, they'll know then that they want to make the investment on the bigger NTI. So that's another book that you're going to be hearing about, which is not the same project that Dove and I are working on. And I see that Dove says he has a name for his NTI idea, that ebook, and he'll send it to me later. So that's great. So there's two different NTI things going on. One is the free NTI ebook, The Inspirations, which we are looking for help on. And the other is the abridged version, The Keys to NTI, which will be a paperback book that Teddy is publishing. And he is going to start pre-orders on that soon. And there are two ways to pre-order The Keys to NTI. One is, of course, the single books. But also you can order cases of the book at a really discounted price in case anybody wants to then share them. Used to, when I had NTI at a discounted price here, people would buy cases and then they would share them with people at their church or in their course group. And so that opportunity's gone now because I no longer have those low-price NTIs. I was only able to buy 800 once at that price. I was not able to repeat that. But this newer book will be less expensive, and so Teddy will make them available by the case for anybody who wants to buy the keys by the case and pass them out. So that's kind of information on what's going on. Free ebooks, including Thoughts of Awakening. Maybe we'll get it on Kindle too for Barb. Looking for volunteers to help put together another free ebook, The Inspirations from NTI. And then Teddy will be soon publishing and pre-selling The Keys to NTI, which again is just the books of NTI Luke, NTI Acts, NTI Galatians, and NTI Revelation, but put together to help introduce people to NTI if they're not yet familiar with it but have some interest. How's that for a Monday morning? All right. Oh, Dove says he does not have a name for his NTI. He has someone who wants an NTI, and he's going to send that to me. Okay, but we are still looking for a name for your NTI project. I have a working name. I put that in the post. I'm calling it, I already forgot what I called it, like Inspirations from NTI or something like that. But we are looking for a name. So if anybody has ideas for a name for that book, you know, those names can be sent to me as well. All right, with all of that said, why don't we go ahead and go into a bit of silence, and then we can get started with the seven steps to awakening, shall we?
Amen.
All right, the seven steps to awakening. Today we're going to be starting with quote number 265, which is from step two. There you are. By the way, when I was at my mom's house last week, I finished step two and I started step three. And I'm really excited about step three. The objective of step three is, hold on, let me just flip over there so I can read it to you. The objective of step three is, see how the imposter self perpetuates its imaginary self and all illusion and suffering. So I'm really excited about step three because it will help me to see how I keep ego alive and well. And that's very important to see. So I'm really excited about step three, and I want to do it slowly. I don't want to just write a bunch of things down and move on to step four. I really want to spend time with the guidance that comes to me through step three, looking at the ways that I keep ego, the idea of ego, alive, and then relinquishing those habits, to be honest. But the quote I just gave you is from step two. Step two, remember, is seeing that the world and the body and the universe are not real. That's step two. Step two runs all the way up through the early 500s, and we're on 265, so we'll be with step two for a while in these teachings. Right now, in the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening, in step two, the quotes are coming from a teacher named Sri Annamalai Swami. And I'm going to read what Sri Annamalai Swami said first, which is quote number 265 from The Seven Steps to Awakening. And then I will read the journal entry, which is the link I gave you. Of course, these are all posted at rda7stepsjournal.wordpress.com. And this is step two, number 265. All right, here we go. From the book. Since the self is infinite and immaterial, what it sees is infinite and immaterial. And of course, the self here is the capital S self. Since the self is infinite and immaterial, what it sees is infinite and immaterial. If you go ahead and look at number 265 in my journal, here is what I wrote after contemplation of that quote. Material form appears real, but this is appearance only. Seek for absolute formless self. From the perspective of absolute formlessness, absolute formlessness is all that is known. If you've listened to me as I teach the seven steps, then you know that one thing that I love are the reminders that get thrown in the guidance for me. I'm going to say that keep me in an honest assessment of myself. You know, we know that one thing that can happen and does happen on this path of awakening is the idea of false enlightenment. The idea of thinking that I am enlightened, when indeed that's just ego throwing that thought out there and that perception out there. And it's used as a form of denial to stop us from continuing the process of letting go of ego and awakening to truth. So one thing that I love, because I'm only interested in honest or true realization, one thing that I love are the reminders that occasionally get thrown into the guidance. Very loving reminders that really are just saying there's still work to do. And this is what number 265 is. Number 265 is a reminder that if I still perceive form, then awakening is not complete. Because the full and complete awakening into formlessness perceives only itself, formlessness. And I understand thoughts where people get, you know, the thinking mind gets into questioning. You know, we look at people, masters like Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta Maharaj, and these were masters, you know, within our recent time frame. And we see them acting like humans. You know, Ramana Maharshi was very interested in how the food was prepared at the ashram. Nisargadatta Maharaj, you know, smoked cigarettes. And the mind wants to think about how could they be human, act human, seem to have preferences about how food is cooked, or smoke cigarettes. Ramana Maharshi didn't like coffee. His mom wanted him to like coffee, and he still didn't like coffee. You know, how can this humanness be there if the awakened mind only knows formlessness? And as I mentioned in a teaching a couple of weeks ago, I don't know the answer to that. And I've kind of lost interest in knowing the answer to that, which I think is pretty important, because I think when ego throws these questions up, ego is really just trying to delay us. You know, we want to get answers to these questions before we, you know, continue our process of awakening. We want to understand awakening before we awaken. I do know that whenever people would go to Ramana Maharshi with questions such as that, he would give exactly that advice. He would ask them to seek the self, and then when they found the self, realized the self, then see what the answers to the questions were. And Nisargadatta would say things, you know, like when somebody would say, "But I see you sitting here smoking a cigarette," Nisargadatta would say, "That's your perception, because you still believe in the body." So what that's left me with is a willingness to accept that I do not know and I do not understand, and that the fact that I do not know and I do not understand does not need to delay me. And so number 265, again in the journal, says, "Material form appears real, but this is appearance only." And then it gives what I call guidance. Seek for absolute formless self. Notice it does not say seek for answers to your questions. Notice it does not say seek to understand what awakening is. Right? It just says seek for absolute formless self. And then it tells us, from the perspective of absolute formlessness, absolute formlessness is all that is known. And that again is a for me, from my perspective, a helpful reminder that you know, if I still see and believe form, there's still work to do. And I'm very happy with that, because like I said, I have no interest in a false enlightenment. And even if everyone around me seems to be experiencing something that they call enlightenment, and I seem to be the only one that isn't, I still don't want to jump the gun. I just don't want anything that isn't real. All right, so let's scroll down then underneath number 265. And underneath the comment area, you'll see a little blue 266. You can click on that. And I'm also going to put a link in the room. So if anybody is not in the journal and they'd like to join us in the journal, they can click on this link and it will take you to number 266. Before reading what is written at that link, I'm going to read Sri Annamalai Swami, quote number 266 from the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. And this is it. Bad thoughts make bad dreams, and good thoughts make good dreams. And if you have no thoughts, you don't dream at all. My mom bought me this really nice purse for my birthday. Really nice. Very expensive and very beautiful. I've never owned anything like it. And I was joking with my mom, and I said, this is the first time that I've ever had a purse that somebody may steal for the purse. Because, you know, before, the purse would have never interested anyone. If they were to steal, it would only because of the contents, you know, the credit cards, the money that were inside. But I told my mom, I said, you know, this purse is so nice. This could be the first time that somebody steals the purse because they want the purse itself. Well, that night my mom had a dream. And I don't even remember the details of the dream now, but in the dream, you know, somebody stole her purse. I don't remember the rest of it. And the next morning she was telling me about that, and she said, you know, I can't imagine what made me dream that. And I said, well, you kind of had the thought in your mind, because I made that comment when you bought me this new purse. I made that comment that this is the first time somebody may steal the purse for the purse. So you see, there was a thought that was in the mind, and a dream happened with that thought involved. And there were other things in the dream too, and we were able to see some other thoughts from her day or recent days that would have added to that dream. I just don't remember the details now. Well, that's true of nighttime dreams, but that's also true of this waking dream, you know, what we call being awake. Not asleep, walking around. The dream, the world, the seeming lifetime comes from thought. And one thing that many of us learn early on the spiritual path is that if we have bad thoughts, then our lifetime seems full of bad experiences. You know, if we go around thinking about lack all the time, thinking about nobody loves me all the time, fearing, you know, things all of the time, all of those thoughts create our experience, and we have an experience of lack and unworthiness and fear. And so one of the things that we learn is to change our thoughts in order to change our experience. Many of us learn this first. And we start learning to, you know, in my case, I didn't think worthiness thoughts. I was never an affirmation queen. But I learned to trust the Holy Spirit's judgment of me, which is that I was worthy, instead of believing my unworthiness thoughts, right? I learned to trust that Holy Spirit would provide for me everything that I needed, and let go of my lack thoughts. And that's really, that even those trust thoughts, it's still changing thoughts. And so what happened for me, my experience is that my life does follow the way I think. I do not experience lack. I have a very, you know, you could call it good, happy life. Things go well for me. But that's still a dream, right? The happy dream is still a dream. So what if we want true awakening? What if we want to know only truth and have no dream at all? Well, that's where this particular quote points. Bad thoughts make bad dreams, and good thoughts make good dreams. And if you have no thoughts, you don't dream at all. All right, let's look at the journal entry that I wrote for number 266. by watching your thoughts and by discerning carefully the thoughts you choose to think, material experience can improve. This may appear to have some value, and this choice is not discouraged. But awakening to reality comes from the choice to release attachment to all thoughts. Pure being, without discernment or choice, accomplishes this goal. Because pure being without discernment or choice is true presence. One thing I remember about this realization when this was written was that there seemed to still be very much an I, a self, a little s self, a Regina. There seemed to still be very much a Regina involved in the decision to change my thoughts. So when I was moving from fear thoughts to trust, Regina was still full, complete, whole who I am. That was the perception. And when contemplating quote 266, I realized that that can't be so in moving to no thoughts, because Regina itself is a thought. So I realized that the process to no thoughts needs to be less Regina and more what we call grace. And in fact, it seems like that is the process now. It seems like it's a process of being less and less and less Regina. So, noticing, for example, Regina's thoughts or opinions or desires, but then doing nothing else with that, stopping at the noticing. So like a follow-up decision of, oh, that's not a helpful desire, I'm going to change that. That's like too much now. Although at one time that was perfect, it was the perfect step. Now that's going too far. Now it stops at the noticing. It's almost as if, you know, when you see a thought, it's almost as if your hand reaches out and grabs onto it. And the old process would have been taking the thought and massaging it and, you know, turning it into a, quote, better thought, more helpful thought. But now what happens is as soon as you notice the hand starting to grab onto the thought, you just notice that and then you completely release. You just don't have anything to do with it. You don't decide to change it. What you really decide to do is just to let it evaporate into nothingness or into non-existing. And as we let the thoughts of the person evaporate into nothingness, into non-existing, we don't do anything with them. We just don't give them any energy, right? Well, then the person itself evaporates also. So the person isn't really doing anything. It's a non-doing. I need do nothing, right? It's a non-doing. So by watching your thoughts and by discerning carefully the thoughts you choose to think, material experience can improve. This may appear to have some value, and this choice is not discouraged. So for some people, this may still be the extremely appropriate step. What may be the most immediate need is to get out of the fear, out of the suffering, out of the belief in guilt, because there's so much attraction to the person in that type of an experience that in order to be able to detach completely from the person, maybe moving to a lighter experience needs to happen first, right? So this isn't saying that it's wrong to replace negative thoughts with more positive thoughts or hurtful thoughts with more helpful thoughts. It's saying, you know, that that may have some value. So by watching your thoughts and by discerning carefully the thoughts you choose to think, material experience can improve. This may appear to have some value, and this choice is not discouraged. But awakening to reality comes from the choice to release attachment to all thoughts. Pure being without discernment or choice accomplishes this goal, because pure being without discernment or choice is true presence. So even the chooser, the one who would choose again, right? That's being let go now. All right, let's scroll down. And underneath the comments area, you'll see 267. You can click on that, and I will post that in the room. There's 267. First, I will read the quote from Sri Annamalai Swami, and this is the quote. Your real state is the self, capital S. And in that self, there is no body and no mind. Your real state is the self, and in that self, there is no body and no mind. All right, let's look at the journal entry, number 267. Choice comes from mind. The appearance of choice comes from the appearance of material differences. In true present being, there are no material differences, and there is no calculating mind. Therefore, the choice to be present being is not a choice at all. It is natural isness. So this is a continuation of the realization seen from the previous quote, in that, you know, you could say that the right mind that got me this far on the path of awakening . Well, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. That also needs to be let go. It's the disappearing. It's not being the right mind or the wrong mind. I need do nothing. It's beyond the making choices with the right mind instead of the wrong mind. It's that next step of not making choices at all, just being beingness. Now, the interesting thing is, at least in my experience, which is a very limited experience, that state of choicelessness comes from the right mind, not from the wrong mind. So what that means is, if I'm, you know, all caught up in some anger thought or some worry thought, a shift to the right mind still needs to occur. I talked about this last night. But then from that right mind, then the ultimate resting, the ultimate letting go, the ultimate relinquishment, the ultimate no more choosing, the ultimate doing nothing can occur. So it's kind of like go from the left to the right, then disappear. Now that doesn't mean people have not disappeared from the left. You know, like if we listen to Eckhart Tolle, you know, it sounds like, I'm saying left and I mean wrong, sorry, it's wrong mind. We'll just say left and wrong are the same right now because I'll probably continue to use the wrong word. So if I say left mind because I'm thinking left and right, then you guys just know that I mean wrong mind. But Eckhart Tolle, you know, he was in the wrong mind, right? He was in the mind of wanting to kill himself, of deep depression, when the realization occurred for him and a quick disappearing happened. But if you pay close attention to what he says when he tells his story, it almost sounds as if there was a momentary shift into the right mind first, because he says that he said something to himself, right? He said, "I can't stand myself." And then the question was, who can't stand who? Can there be two selves? So you see, that was a quick shift into the right mind. And then the disappearing. Byron Katie, I don't see anything that distinct. Byron Katie's experience is even less distinct. She was just very, very, very in her wrong mind. And right, a cockroach crawled over her foot and she looked at it and poof, went into the disappearing. So I don't want to be misunderstood as stating that there is only one way that awakening happens. Whenever I speak from the process that I experience. And for me, it seems to be left or wrong, right? I am kind of moving my head from the left to the right as I speak, so I can see where if you could see me, my head's tilting left and then right, you can see why I'm saying left. But I go from wrong to right to disappear. But it's not staying active in that right. It's not staying active in that perception that we call right mind. It's not staying active in making those choices. Because somehow, even in that, the idea of person, the idea of doer is still very strong. So number 267, choice comes from mind. The appearance of choice comes from the appearance of material differences. In true, present being, there are no material differences and there is no calculating mind. Therefore, the choice to be present being is not a choice at all. It is natural isness. And again, it's recognized from... Well, it's recognized from nothingness. The choice to be present being is not a choice at all, right? We don't choose that. It's just true. It's natural isness. But it's recognized from nothingness. Did you just die? Oh, no. Okay. I guess you were taking a nap. I'm sorry to wake you up. I'm talking to a fly. I have a fly that hangs out with me, and he got into a little crack in my computer monitor and laid there very, very still for a long time. So I thought, oh, did you just die? But when I reached out to touch him, he, you know, went back into his normal buzzing, and now he's on the screen washing his hands. So he was just taking a nap or something. Let's go ahead, and if you scroll down, you'll see number 268 on the left. Click on number 268. I will also post the link to 268 in the room. And number 268, this is a little longer, not quite as long as the quote I read last night, but it's still significantly longer than most of the quotes. This is still Sri Annamalai Swami, and so this is what was said. This life is all a dream within a dream. We dream this world. We dream that we die and take birth in another body. And in this birth, we dream that we have dreams. All kinds of pleasures and suffering alternate in these dreams. But a moment comes when waking up happens. In this moment, which we call realizing the self, there is the understanding that all the births, all the deaths, all the sufferings, and all the pleasures were unreal dreams that have finally come to an end. All right, let's go ahead and look at number two. I guess he likes this little crack in the monitor. He's going back to sleep. He's heading back in that direction. More napping for my friend the fly. Okay, number 268 from the journal. Let's be clear about what is mind-made illusion and what is reality. Life in a material world is mind-made illusion, not reality. Death is mind-made illusion, not reality. Afterlife experience in a different dimension is mind-made illusion, not reality. Reincarnation is mind-made illusion, not reality. Profound mystical experiences are mind-made illusion, not reality. In awakening, all of this is seen to be unreal. This clear seeing is reality. So I loved this clear seeing coming. Because until this clear seeing came, there could definitely still be confusion about what's real and what's not real. You know, like somebody has an after-death experience, and they come back and they tell their story of what happened in that after-death experience. You know, many of us want to grab onto, oh, they touched reality. They were in reality. You know, they were in reality when, you know, Jesus gave them a life review. You know, they were in reality when they understood their mistakes and got clarity on how to see and be differently, and then came back and they were different. Now, it doesn't mean that that experience wasn't helpful. There are lots of helpful experiences, but the experience was not reality. Still enclosed within the dream. I love this because, again, it helps to eliminate confusion. You know, another confusion that comes in is that somehow reincarnation is reality. But this makes it clear. Reincarnation was not reality. There never has been a lifetime that was reality. And in fact, my hand just reached out and grabbed NTI. And I'm opening up to NTI 1 Peter. And let me see if I can find. In NTI 1 Peter, it talks about, I don't know if I can find it quickly. Okay, here we go. Oh, maybe that's not it either. Maybe I won't continue to try this right now. But in NTI, here it is. Okay, listen to this from NTI 1 Peter chapter 4. You are not a person now, and you have not been a person before. There is no person from this lifetime or any other that you must let go of, because there has never been a person. There has only been the thought of persons, and the thought of persons is not real. So, you know, NTI also teaches that the idea of reincarnation is within the dream. It's not a truth. And what's funny is when we're not clear on these things, especially if ego really gets involved, some ego attachment to our spiritual beliefs, what can happen is, you know, we can argue with people, you know. I certainly did not engage in anything like this with my mom, but let's just pretend like I did last week at my mom's. Let's pretend like, you know, she is a Baptist, a Southern Baptist, a born-again Christian. She does not believe in reincarnation. She believes in being saved and then dying and then going to heaven. And let's say I believed in reincarnation. I could get into an argument with my mother, right? No, Mom, that's not true. You don't go to heaven, and you know, you have to awaken. Awakening is heaven. If you haven't awakened, then you are reincarnated. And you know, it's really foolish if you think about it, because my belief is as much a part of the illusion as her belief, right? There's a very popular book out now about a little boy, I think he was in preschool maybe, that died and, quote, went to heaven and met Jesus. And you know, people are reading that book and saying, here's proof. Here's proof in the Christian heaven. But see, that's still part of the dream. Really, anything that we can imagine is part of the dream. You know, there are people who believe that the real God, the real ascended masters, are actually aliens. There are people who believe that Jesus was actually an alien or part alien. They think this is the truth. There are people who believe that our true nature is that we are actually aliens, not earthlings, that came here at an earlier time, and we need to rediscover that true nature. This is all part of the dream. We get stuck along the way on new spiritual beliefs that we think are truth, but they're not truth. Anything that you can imagine is not true. If you can imagine it, it's not true. So let's be clear about what is mind-made illusion and what is reality. Life in a material world is mind-made illusion, not reality. Death is mind-made illusion, not reality. Afterlife experience in a different dimension is mind-made illusion, not reality. Reincarnation is mind-made illusion, not reality. Profound mystical experiences are mind-made illusion, not reality. In awakening, all of this is seen to be unreal. This clear seeing is reality. And I noticed Barb asked, what is imagination? I think the best answer to that, but she continued, what is imagination but the ego? Yeah, so she wasn't really asking. I didn't see the rest of that. What is imagination but the ego? And yeah, it's thoughts, it's thinking, it's form, right? Alien is form, an idea of form. Heaven, you know, as the Christian heaven is an idea of a form, a place, right? You know, all of these things, they're not true. All right, so let's scroll down then, and we're going to click on number 269. And first I will read 269 from the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. This is a quote from Sri Annamalai Swami. You are looking for satisfaction in the outside world because you think that all these objects you see in front of you are real. They are not. It's a very simple quote. You are looking for satisfaction in the outside world because you think that all these objects you see in front of you are real. They are not. All right, let's... my sleeping fly. He's cute because he's sleeping right here at the bottom of my monitor in a little crack, right where I need to click when I want to go and read my journal. So every time I go to click, I see him. In fact, just now I think my little mouse pointer just kind of startled him a little bit. He moved a little bit. All right. Sorry to disturb your sleep. Please go back to sleep now. Number 269 in the journal says, any looking for happiness in the material world is evidence of belief that illusion is reality. Again, any looking for happiness in the material world is evidence of belief that illusion is reality. It is most helpful to see outward seeking as this belief and then return immediately to self-inquiry, self-watching, self-awareness. And then a note that I just kind of added at the end, suffering is also a symptom of this same belief. And so the immediate response practice is the same. Now for me, at least in my current experience, which is the only place that I can speak from, I can't speak from a state of mind that is not yet realized. This doesn't mean that that doing doesn't happen. I mean, you know, like last week I went to my mom's, right? In a couple of weekends, I'm going to Buena Vista, Colorado for the weekend, and Jasmine and Jamie and Danielle and I are staying in a little cottage. Yeah. I remember someone once told me they thought that I was too serious about awakening, that I needed to have fun. And I remember I just thought that was so funny because I think I have more fun than anybody I know. It seems like play is a big part of my life. And I don't just mean that I enjoy my work, because I do, but I mean I take time to go play a lot. I play. So when I read this, I don't feel in any way that this is saying stop playing. If playing is a part of what's natural, if it's a part of what just unfolds in my life, well, then that's fine. What I think this means is don't think my happiness comes from the playing. You know, what if on my way to Buena Vista, I'm in a severe car accident? And what if I then become a paraplegic and I can really no longer play? Does that necessarily mean that I have to be unhappy? And many of us would make that choice, but the reason we make that choice is because we believe the world is real. And we believe that the world is supposed to fulfill us. And if we cannot interact with the world, if our body is limited and we cannot interact with the world in the way that we thought we had to in order to be fulfilled, we then choose to suffer. Cher has written, it's so hard to not see this world as real. And I understand that. I'm actually no longer there. In fact, Danielle said to me the other day that it was, you know, something very similar, that it was, you know, pretty hard to believe that the world wasn't real. And I just looked at her and I said, it's not that hard. And I was coming from honesty. Because somehow there's a fading of the belief that the world is real. And as the belief fades, there's a shifting in perception. A dissolving, yeah, Barb is saying. But I think that the mistake would be to try to see that the world is not real. That would never have worked for me. That was not my guidance. to try to see that the world was not real. My guidance came in other ways. My guidance came in removing my attention from the world. First, by removing my attention from the stories about the world, right? Like if you and I had some kind of a disagreement, like an argument, and I was walking around thinking about the argument that we had, well, then my guidance would have been to remove my attention from the thoughts in my mind about the argument and turn my attention back to my single quiet thoughts, for example. So like that was a very early step for me, removing my attention from the stories. And then there were other steps and then other steps, but basically each of the steps, what they had in common was removing my attention from the desire for the world, right? Removing my attention from the stories of the world, and eventually placing my attention on the isness, to whatever degree I recognized it, the withinness, the heart. And then somehow through this removing my attention, the dissolving began to happen on its own. So there was no trying to not see it real. That was never, ever a piece of the guidance. And in fact, again, number 269, which we're looking at now, it's a part of this guidance which allows this dissolving of the belief that the world is real. Notice again that 269 says, any looking for happiness in the material world is evidence of belief that illusion is reality. So what this says to me is if I happen to notice that I'm thinking, that I'm happy because I get to look forward to going to the cottage in August, right? I'm happy because I get to look forward to going to the cottage in August. Then when I see that thought, what I would do is I would say, ah, looky there. I'm thinking that something in the world's going to make me happy. And for me, I stop there with the noticing. I let the miracle take over after that. Just the noticing is where I stop. But I don't deny that the thought that the cottage was going to make me happy was there. Nor do I really struggle against it. Just with a wiser seeing, I notice, ah, look. Look what I was thinking. Or look what I am thinking. Any looking for happiness in the material world is evidence of belief that illusion is reality. It is most helpful to see outward seeking as this belief, and then return immediately to, and again this could be to your current spiritual practice, that might be self-inquiry, that might be self-watching, right, being in the beingness, that might be self-awareness, which is really the same. That might be rat. That might be returning your mind to a course lesson or a single quiet thought. That might be returning to a mantra, right? It might be acceptance. Yeah, we all have current spiritual practices. So the point is, when you notice that you're looking outward for happiness, you say, ah, I see what I'm doing. And then you return to your current spiritual practice. Any looking for happiness in the material world is evidence of belief that illusion is reality. It is most helpful to see outward seeking as this belief and then return immediately to self-inquiry, self-watching, self-awareness, or your current spiritual practice. Can somebody tell me what time it is? I have a feeling that my clock is wrong. Dove told me I could start early, and actually my clock was saying that it was right up 12. It is 12. 2 minutes to go. I think everybody's clocks are different. But some people are saying, yeah, okay, it's either 58, 59, or on the hour. I have on the hour. So I'll go ahead and go with my clock then. Yeah, and I'll go ahead and stop, because if I started another one, then I would go late. And I did that last week. So we'll stop here, and then next week we'll start with number 270, which is actually going to be the last Annamalai Swami quote. Woohoo! All right, everyone, have a great day, and I will be back on Friday with Lynn. Bye-bye.